Well, we have recently celebrated 20 years since the Sydney Olympics, 2000 Olympic Games. It is almost important, it's also important, rather, to take time to reflect on and equally celebrate this Sydney 2000 Paralympic Games. And today, our sports correspondent, Dr. Michelle Shea, reflects on the Paralympic Games, its history, the Sydney 2000s Paralympic history and opportunities for future change. Good morning, Michelle.
Yeah, good morning, guys. And look, I thought, you know, we've been sort of in the midst of football fever, but we actually mark a really important point for celebration, and that is 20 years since the Paralympic Games. And as you mentioned, while we saw celebrations in relation to Sydney 2000, an opportunity to really think about how 20 years ago, some of our amazing Paralympians, and one name absolutely comes to mind, and that's Louise Sauvage. She was certainly a superstar. And I mean, if you look at her medal tally, 9 gold and 4 silvers at 4 Paralympic Games, and she's in the process of coaching the next generation, so she's helping to prepare our stars ahead of 2021. But some quick statistics for listeners. We had 3,879 athletes from 123 different countries and 1.2 million tickets sold. So that's just, I guess, a small reflection on what has become a really memorable Games for the Paralympians.
So to further reflect on the history of the Paralympic Games, what was its historical development and what did make Sydney such a significant Games?
Yeah, so I mean, just a bit of a brief sort of snapshot into the Paris history. So a guy by the name of Sir Ludwig Gutmann organised a sports competition for British World War II veterans, and it was specifically for those with spinal cord injuries, and that was held in England in 1948. And then we had more of the first Olympic-style Games. They were held in Rome in 1960. But you're right, Sydney 2000 sort of, many dubbed it a bit of a watershed moment in some ways. And from 2001, the Olympic Committee and the International Paralympic Committee actually came together and agreed on a practice called One Bid, One City. So what that meant was countries bidding for the Olympic Games would equally host and bid for the Paris. So in 1993, when we started to go through that process of bidding for the Sydney 2000 Games, the Para Games were not actually part of the mix. But with advocacy and some discussions with state and federal government and commitments around what the Games meant for us in terms of legacy, we saw the coming together of those two bids, and from Sydney 2000 onward, that has continued to be the case.
And in terms of Australia's Paralympic athletes, you did just mention Louise Sauvage. And in looking into the past, what names and milestones come to mind?
Yeah, and I think this is a really important project. There's it's called the Paralympic History Project. And before, sort of, for the first 30 years of the Paralympic movement, they really didn't have an umbrella organisation to kind of celebrate its Olympians. So, a lot of the history, unfortunately, has been lost, but there's been some great commitment to unearthing some of these fantastic images, and there's been a fabulous project around actually speaking with the athletes themselves and sort of getting these oral histories as well. So some of the names that really come to mind, and I mean, how's this for an achievement list? Daphne Hilton, she was absolutely a trailblazer for female athletes, and she won 14 medals in multiple sports at 3 Paralympic appearances. So, you know, that's something difficult to beat. And then in terms of administrators and volunteers and athletes, Frank Poder, he was a 5-time Paralympic campaigner, and he was a really staunch competitor, but also an advocate in relation to coaching and administration. And so he actually established the South Australian Disability Recreation and Sports Organisation, and Rebound, as it's known today, does some absolutely amazing stuff to enable sort of the athletic involvement and the recreation of those with physical and mobility impairment issues. But yeah, and then there's obviously Kurt Fearnley. I mean, how could you go past him? An amazing athlete and great advocate for Paralympians and the community in general.
Our sports correspondent, Dr. Michelle O'Shea, is with us discussing the Paralympic Games. And obviously, the beautiful thing about sports is it's not just about sports. So what further legacies have we seen emerge from the Sydney 2000 Paralympic Games?
Yeah, and that's the really big thing. I think certainly Sydney 2000, the Paras really brought the issues of access, and that is very much infrastructure and facilities access to the fore, and certainly commentators and academics who have written quite a deal in this space have really talked about how that really did move the agenda along. But that said, there are still issues as it relates to, I guess, what kind of funding we have at different levels. And there was some degree of conjecture about maybe the money should have been spent in other spaces. But suffice to say, I think there's a really fantastic documentary which I'd encourage listeners to take a look at, and it's called Rising Phoenix, and it really, I guess, gets to the heart of this issue around, I guess, disability, diversity and excellence. And I really think that's what the Paras has done, and certainly here is to show the incredible capability of these individuals. And, you know, you can't be what you can't see. And so to see those Olympians perform as they had, you know, has a lasting legacy moving forward.
Michelle, as always, thank you for your time and your insight.
Brilliant. Take care.
Sports correspondent Dr. Michelle O'Shea from Western Sydney University speaking with us about the feat of the Sydney Paralympic Games and how they work to push the Paralympics further than before.